spiritual house. That's what we are. That's what we're supposed to be. To offer up spiritual sacrifices to God our Father by the things we do beyond just our worship assemblies and our singing together, by the things that we do and the way that we live, we offer up those pleasing sacrifices to God. Really? Is that really what we do? Every day? A couple times a week? Once on Sunday morning? When do we do those things? When do you do those things? There's one thing that plagues the Lord's body, and I know maybe other bodies of believers as well. It's called indifference. The reason I asked those questions this morning, when do you do those things? When is it you offer up spiritual sacrifices to God? Daily? Once a week? A couple times a month? If you find yourself offering spiritual sacrifices less and less than you did maybe a year or two or ten ago, maybe you have a little bit of case of indifference creeping in. That's not good. Indifference is not a good thing for the Christian. It is, though, a common problem. Many people have it and don't know it. Those that do have it don't really care. They're indifferent to it. We're going to talk about indifference this morning just a little bit. It affects every congregation. I can't imagine there's one congregation of the Lord's body anywhere that's not affected on some level, little bit or big, by indifference. Because, you see, it affects the individual members of the congregation. Therefore, as it affects the membership, the individual member, it affects the body. What's the definition? How's it defined? Well, apathy is being unconcerned, having apathy, being disinterested. It's characterized by a sort of partiality or bias, not mattering one way or the other, having no great importance about something, having no particular interest or concern. All those things describe this indifference. You just don't care. Don't have a particular point one way or the other. See why it's not good for the congregation, for the body? It's a lack of diligence, lack of dedication, lack of devotion. All those things describe this indifference. I think probably the best definition is apathy. It's a lack of diligence. It's about attitude and actions that say, I just don't care one way or the other. Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. God's people, you know, they've always been plagued by apathy at different times. Judah was being doomed, and it just didn't seem to faze them. It just didn't seem to matter. If you go back and read those, we won't take time in the interest of time this morning, but I challenge you and encourage you to read that, Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and see just how doomed Judah was and see how irrelevant it seemed to be to them. It's amazing when you go back and read what a people of God, what a people of God lacked. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we see fornication in the midst of the assembly. Verses there tell us that a man was having his father's wife. Now, whatever, just exactly what that means, we don't know exactly, but we can well imagine if a man has his father's wife, that ain't good. And the congregation there didn't seem to even be upset about it. I fear that many congregations today might not be upset about it. Look at the time we live in. Anything goes. Surely not in the church. Surely not in the body of Christ. Only when we become indifferent do those things take place. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, the church at Laodicea is said to be lukewarm, and they really didn't seem to care. They were indifferent. We understand how important that is by what God said through Christ, through John's pen, that was going to happen. He'd spew you out of his mouth. That's pretty drastic. If we put it in a nutshell, it's like a cancer. Nobody likes the word cancer. We don't even like to say the word cancer, much less think we might have it one day. But indifference is like a cancer that just permeates the church from one to the other to the other. eats away at the life of the Christian, therefore it eats away at the life of the church. The people of God should be diligent, devoted, zealous. How many times does the word zealous appear in your New Testament? Frequently. Frequently. Let's look at some scriptures. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord in your heart. Romans 12, verse 11, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Colossians 3, 23, put everything you have into service of the Lord is what that verse is about. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatever you do, do it with all your might. I want you to pay attention to the underlined words, not the scriptures and verses, but the underlined words. First one, seek. Next one, sanctify. Next one, serving. Third, the fourth one, put. And the next one, do. What do they all have in common? They're all action words. You can't be those words and not do something. Seek, sanctify, serve, put your heart into it, and do. The next underlined word is an attitude word. It's called zealous. In Titus 2:14, we have zealous of good works. We ought to be zealous, excited, can't hardly wait to do, up in arms about doing good works. That's what zealous means. You can't help but do good works. And being all those things that are described in those verses previous to zealous. Total opposite of indifference and apathy. Let me go back just a second. If you don't find yourself in those first verses and you find yourself being zealous of good works, if that doesn't describe you this morning, then you have, on some level, a case of indifference. Not good. It's subtlety. Take a look at how subtle indifference is. It develops gradually and slowly over time. It doesn't happen overnight. You're not gung-ho and anxious and diligent and exerted and enthusiastic one day and just indifferent the next. It doesn't happen that way. It's very gradual. It's hard to recognize because it is so gradual. It strikes first at the heart, then at the attitude, and manifests itself in the actions or the lack of actions of the individual. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. A couple of different sources, a couple of different translations here. The first one from the New King James. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. You've heard that verse many times last year and over your lifetime. From the King James, it reads this way, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Interesting thing, the footnote in the King James, run out as leaking vessels. Our energy, our zealousness, zeal, which is the better word, zealousness or zeal, I'm not sure, but our zeal, our doing, our fervor, our gung-ho-itiveness, whatever you want to call it, it tends to leak out like a running or dripping faucet or a vessel. How aggravating is a dripping faucet at your house? We don't like them, do we? It drives us nuts till they're fixed. We just got to fix it. We get zealous about that. Reckon what a dripping vessel is to God. If you think just a little bitty dripping faucet at your house is a problem, imagine a soul dripping zeal to God. That's an odd analogy, but it's true. If we're losing our zeal, losing our decided difference, in other words, losing the care about things and becoming indifferent, imagine what that is to God. I don't think he likes it. Kind of like that dripping faucet at our house, or someone's house. We don't have one at our house. Let's describe Hebrews 2, verse 1. Bear with me just a second. We start out in January 2007. Go to July 2007, January 2008, and so forth, and so on, and so forth, and so on, until we get down here to about July 2012. You see the difference? What difference do you see? Let's use the color black as zeal, okay? Imagine in that diagram, the color black is being full of zeal. Gradually, over a few months at a time, what happened by July 12, 2012? It's gone. Now let's further the example. Let's begin in July 2012 and go forward. Let's go all the way down to about July 2016. You see any difference from July 2012? Well, there's no zeal there. But look at the shape. In a matter of 10 years, from January 07 down to July 2016, 10 years, complete change. Happens to people. Happens in the church. Zeal just slowly but surely over time goes away. Leads to indifference. It's harder to see then what we're not doing. It's easy to point at the other fella, but it's harder to see what self isn't doing. Let's take a look at that example. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Let's read that together just briefly. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, the writer here is saying that he has much to say to them about the order of Melchizedek, about Christ being a priest in the order of Melchizedek. He says in verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. So notice the indifference. Notice the lack of zeal, the lack of proper attitude in growth. By now, he says, you should be, but the case is they either don't want to be, won't be, or can't be. What else is it? What else could it be other than won't, don't, or can't? Pretty well sums it up. They either don't want to be teachers, won't be teachers, or can't be teachers. But they should be. They become dull of attitude. It's hard to see what each individual one of those folks fails to do. Oh, somebody else will do it. You ever heard that? You ever thought that? When you had the ability, the capability, and the knowledge and said, somebody else will do it, that's indifference. Trust me, it is. Not caring enough to do the work yourself, but let somebody else do it. It's even harder to see that I don't care as much as I ought to, that I'm not involved as I should be, that I'm not as dedicated as I once was, or that I should have grown more by now. So those things are hard to see when it happens gradually over time. What we do as a church, or as teachers, preachers, and even elders, we tend to focus on the fruit, what's either not being done or being done, instead of the real problem. The real problem is not the lack of fruit. That's a sign of the problem. The real problem, let's take a look at this, which if one doesn't attend, we try to preach on attendance. That may or may not work. If someone doesn't show growth in study, we preach on growth in study. That may or may not work. Sounds logical to do those things when that's what you see. But the real problem's in the heart. It's a heart problem. If you go back and read Proverbs 23, or Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You've probably heard that verse before. You thought it was a good idea. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart spring forth the issues of life. What issues of life? Diligence, zeal, stick-to-itiveness. Every issue of life is evolved around difference or indifference, care or don't care. Every issue of life. Go a little further, Matthew 15, 9. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. All those things come out of the heart, Jesus said, Matthew 15, 19. The problem with those who should be teachers by now but are not, with the indifferent, is that there's a lack of care, a lack of concern, a lack of zeal. So you cure the indifference and the symptoms go away. Does that make sense? When you go to a doctor and he treats you for a sore throat, he might give you some medicine that will reduce your fever. That's not the issue. That's a byproduct of having some kind of sickness. Cure your sore throat, fever goes away. Cure the problem, the symptoms will be gone. What causes indifference? We talked about a lot about indifference so far. Well, what causes it? Let's take a look at the causes. One of them is a lack of fear of God. This is where you need to really pay attention. A lack of fear of God will lead to indifference. There's two ways we use the word fear in Scripture. One of them is this: afraid of displeasing God. That's fear. I'm scared not to please God. You find it in verses like 1 Samuel 11, verse 7. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came all to with one consent. They were scared of the Lord. Psalms 119, verse 20, my flesh trembles for fear of you. That's being frightened out of your mind. Hebrews 10, 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We understand what that kind of fear is. It's being scared not to please God. That's one kind of fear. The other kind of fear is this: having respect and awe for who God is. Having a wholesome, fearful respect for God. Luke 7, 16, the fear came upon all and they glorified God. That's a good fear. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 9, he said to them, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. What an awesome God. I fear his ability and his holy name. That's Jonah's take on it. When we have lack of this kind of fear, either one, what does it lead to? Sedate indifference. Also, those who fear God in the right respects will do what God says, and they'll be dedicated to it. You might want to write those verses down. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1, 2. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. I won't take time to look at them in the interest of time this morning, but basically what those verses and readings tell you is that we need to do what God says. We need to be dedicated to it. People who have the proper fear of God, we'll do that. And indifference is not an issue for those folks. Focus on the present world causes indifference in the spiritual sense. We get wrapped up in all the things, and you know, it's easy to do. We get wrapped up in all the things and issues of life, and the spiritual just kind of gets put aside. We get wrapped up in that, and we start tending, as Jesus said, the cares of the world, his parable of the sower. The cares of the world crept in and choked out the seed. And you remember Demas? Good old Demas. Loved the world. Left Paul. Went back to the world. Material blessings are another thing that causes indifference, and I'm not knocking material blessings. Don't get me wrong. I think they're wonderful. I do. In the right place, with the right perspective. Material blessed have a tendency to forget God. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, it reads this way, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. One way or the other, to the end result or the extent of being too rich or too poor is not necessarily good. So Solomon said, kind of keep me there in the middle, Lord, where I can keep a good focus and a straight assumption about all this stuff. Tendency to forget God when we're so materially blessed, we forget we need him. Got all that stuff I need. One of the churches back in churches of Asia was like that, remember? Amos says, beware when you take your ease. You know, you have all these spiritual blessings, just kind of sit back and relax and just enjoy life. And that's okay till it gets to interfere with your spirituality, which leads to indifference. Missed one. Riches make us overconfident in material things. And one of these days, the material things will be gone away. Then what do you have? Well, if you're indifferent, you know, you lose all your material things, you still have your indifference. How good is that? Won't get you far. They get you on God's list, but the wrong list. Ignorance. And I'm not calling anybody stupid. Don't misunderstand that word. Ignorance is just a not knowing. Not because you don't have sense to know, but it's just a not knowing. Destroys God's people, according to Hosea and Isaiah. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It was true. We look back in the Old Testament. Yeah, they were. Time after time after time. And most of the time it was because of indifference. Reasons why they were ignorant. They'd not been taught. People today, some have not been taught. You know, sometimes we have a tendency in the church worldwide, and we have a tendency to baptize folks and bring them into the church and baptize them for forgiveness of sin, and okay, you're on your own. Learn. Grow. Be warmed and filled. That's what James said. Can't just baptize them and leave them to their own devices. You've got to teach. Ignorance is a result of not being taught in some cases. Not being taught or forget what they knew. Some folks, you can teach them till you're blue in the face and they'll just go right the next day and forget what they knew. Now, you can't help that, but you got to keep teaching. Why do you hear the same things repeatedly out of my mouth and the same kinds of sermons over and over and over again? Because we have a tendency to forget what we know, especially if we don't use it. They ignore what they're taught. They forget. You know, a lot of things happen. And some people, you can teach them, and they just, whatever. You know, that's the biggest indifferent word you could ever hear. Whatever. I've come to just really not like that word. People use it over and over these days, whatever. But they ignore what they're taught. Okay, whatever you say. Ignorance destroys God's people. If we don't know, how do we obey? That's a good question. That's a fair question. If you baptize someone into Christ, that's a good thing. But if you leave their own devices about learning the rest of what's in the Bible, New and Old Testament, how are they going to know what to obey and when to obey? Just because you baptize someone into Christ doesn't mean they have a full understanding that we're not under the Old Testament today. A lot of people assume that the Ten Commandments are still in play. Only because Christ brought them over to the New Covenant, except one, the Sabbath. We don't keep the Sabbath any longer. But the rest of them are just moral laws between men and awe between us and God. If we don't know what's commanded, we can't obey. If we don't know about judgment, what's there to fear? You better teach a new Christian about some judgment, I'm telling you. Or they won't be a Christian very long. Well, they'll be a Christian. They'll be back out in the world. If there's no fear of judgment, why worry about indifference? If we don't know the truth, we're pretty easily led into error. So what you teach that new convert and what you teach those you're trying to bring to Christ needs to be the truth, as much as you know of it. Like they say on this witness stand, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. The softness is a reason for ignorance. Softness in preaching. Some comforts are found in preaching. You know, sometimes the preaching comforts the indifferent. If you tell someone how good they are and you're okay and I'm okay and God loves us all and we're all going to get to heaven and all that good stuff, what reason is there to do anything about indifference? It's really not. Does little to prick the heart when preaching is like that. I hope you'll never find that from this pulpit as long as I'm in it. Positive preaching makes people who are in sin and indifferent about it feel good. If you tell someone who may be a Christian but living a little bit of a sinful lifestyle on the side that nobody really understands or knows about, hadn't found out yet. See, God still knows. But if you teach that person and preach to that person that I'm okay, you're okay, and we're all going to go to heaven and everything's going to be kumbaya, you know, and all that stuff, if you teach that, what are they going to change? Nothing. How indifferent about things are they going to be? About this big? It just doesn't work. And then you hear a lot of that preaching on television and so forth that where there's no teeth in the message. Not enough to preach the truth, but you have to correct, rebuke, exhort, and yes, even withdraw from if there's no show of repentance. That's hard. That's not easy. When's the last time you knew the church to withdraw from anybody? Some of y'all been around here a long time. And I would just about guess that this church never withdrew from anybody for any reason. But there, yet there might have been reason. It's hard. It's not easy. Often we want the truth to be taught, but that's as far as it goes. Don't do anything about it. Just teach it. We'll take it from there. And I'm not fussing at this congregation. What I'm saying for us today is body-wide. It's not just here. And if you fit this stuff, then you've got some indifference, and there's changes need to be made. But you're not by yourself. What are the signs of indifference? Well, the loss of zeal. We talked about zeal a minute ago. In Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5, nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. What's your first love? Seek and save the lost. Be the church. Those folks had lost their first love. They'd lost their zeal for it. Dedicated people have to have a burning zeal. Dedicated people need to have that fire of enthusiasm about them. That's what Jesus said. You left your first love. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Judah let her service deteriorate to a weary routine. Boy, I'll tell you, if you ever feel like worship on Sunday is just a routine that you need to go and punch your clock, look out. You're just loaded with indifference. Worship is never a routine. Yes, it happens on a routine basis. That's as close to as y'all to be as a routine. Yes, we do the same things every week in our services on a similar basis. We sing, we pray, we give, we preach. That's not just a routine way of doing things. That's just the way that seems to make sense. And it shouldn't be that it's just a routine of doing. When you start punching your clock, you have some severe issues of indifference. When a church has members who have lost their zeal, it has a problem with indifference. Does that just make sense? When service to God is ho-hum, no big deal. Ain't no fire. And you know, the funny thing is, the one sitting next to you this morning could have that ho-hum attitude. You might not know it. You may have a smile on her face, but still have a ho-hum. Be glad when he shuts up, we can go eat. If you're thinking that, be careful. Go back and read Malachi 1 through chapter 1, verse 6. And I think I had that up on the screen. Yeah, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, over through chapter 2, verse 17. Read that and see how the fire left the people of Israel and what God had to say about it. We won't take time to go into it. I know it's almost lunchtime. We're getting there. Loss of spiritual interest. Verse read this morning, therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, and the reason, that you may grow thereby. If you're not growing, you're backing up. Loss of spiritual interest, it just follows a loss of zeal. If you don't have the zeal, you begin to lose your spiritual interest. It has a lack of desire for the word, no matter what the word says. No interest in studying. Don't want to know what the text actually means. Just read through it. Not bothered by sin in ourselves or in others. Not bothered by false doctrine when you hear it. Not concerned about the lost. Those are all signs of extreme indifference. If you can't be upset with false doctrine when you hear it, something is wrong. How many of you have heard about the new Bible that came out? The Queen James edition of the Bible. There is one. Got an email from Frank, I think it was, just a week or so ago. Read the foreword. Make me puke. But they have as much right to free speech as I do, let's be honest. But there's a point where you got to say, that's just wrong. And if that doesn't bother you, if you think that everybody ought to have a Queen James Bible instead of a King James Bible, there's something wrong with you. I promise. And it's indifference. Oh, let them have their way. No, teach them. Teach them how wrong it is. And maybe some of them will listen to you. Get off of that soapbox. Missing services. We talked about missing services before. May start on an occasional absence just because something came up. You know, it may be altogether work has hindered us, and it used to bother us, and now it doesn't. We just let work take us out of service. May miss once in a while for other reasons. May become easier to miss a little after that. And pretty soon, start missing Bible school, Bible class. Start missing Wednesday nights, Sunday evening. I'll wait till Sunday morning and miss that last. That's a good thing, I guess. Have you been there? Some have. Every service we miss out on, it stunts our spiritual growth. It brings, or if being present builds us up, then if we miss, aren't we weaker? If you're being built up in the assembly on Sunday morning, if you miss Sunday morning, you're a little bit weaker than you would have been if you'd been here. Remember old Thomas? Jesus, after his crucifixion, his death and resurrection, showed himself to the apostles one morning. Thomas was out playing golf. I didn't say fishing, Perry. I said golf. Thomas was somewhere else. He probably should have been with the apostles, don't you imagine? What'd he miss? Bunch. Do you forsake the assembling of yourselves together for reasons that are within your control? Would I step on toes if I said, oh, I had company came in, I couldn't come Sunday morning? I would. I had something come up, whatever it might have been, I couldn't get there. Things that are in our control sometimes keep us, or we let keep us, from the assembling of ourselves. We're some consumed with secular interests. We won't spend a lot of time on that. But this life is merely something we're passing through. All of our secular interests one day will be no more. Then what do you have? Secular things should rank below spiritual things. When our secular concerns overshadow our spiritual, folks, there's some indifference that's involved. Those who are not indifferent don't allow that to happen. Our spiritual is focused. That's the forefront of our focus, not the secular. And you can have an even distribution of both in your life. But which is the primary? It needs to be the spiritual. It must be the spiritual. That must take precedence and priority. We don't have time for worship. We don't have time to study. Making money is more important. Having fun is pushed ahead of service. All those things happen when indifference begins to set in. Hebrews 3, turn there with me. We'll read it quickly. Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, talks about those who are in the wilderness. Many, 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 many years ago. What happened to them? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not be hardened, or do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, wherefore your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation. It said, they always go astray in their heart. Yet they have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The caution is, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If you're not with the assembling, you can't be uplifted and exhorted. If you're not around your Christian brothers and sisters on a daily basis, it's hard to be exhorted if you're not in the presence of someone. He says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, we recall what Paul said. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. People get removed from their primary focus. I'm sure a lot of that in the Galatian church had to do with indifference. If they were indifferent, they heard what Paul said. Let's hear what this other guy said. Yeah, I mean, whatever. And they pulled him away from the gospel. Galatians 5:7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? They were on the right direction. What happened? Most likely, a little indifference. Its cure is found, I believe, in Colossians 1:8. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the key. Teach and warn. When we don't, folks just go their own way. Colossians 1:28. The goal is to present every man perfect. That word perfect is not sinless, spotless, perfect. That means complete, mature. Preaching God is the remedy. God's power, Romans 1:16, through the gospel. We don't need gimmicks, social programs, entertainment, all that hoopla. We don't need that. It's the word that does what the word does. You can throw all the entertainment you want to, but if you don't have the truth of the word, all you got is nothing. Just need to preach and warn. When you preach and warn, folks, repent. Churches with indifference were told to repent back there in the churches of Asia, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Every one of them told to repent, except for one. Revelation 2, 4 and 5, Revelation 3, 16, 19. It's a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of attitude. It's prompted by godly sorrow. I'm sorry that I have hurt God. It's not that I'm sorry somebody caught me. I'm sorry, so sorry that he's preaching to me this morning and I need to change. No, it's not that. It's just you've offended and hurt God if this is you. Results is a change of life. That's the fix it. That's the cure for indifference. Change your life. Change what you're doing now through indifference. Take the indifference out of the picture and get back to what Christians do. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world leads to death. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. And study. The more you study, the stronger you grow. The stronger you grow, the better Christian you are, then the less likely indifference takes a hold of your life. And then be a doer of the word. James said, faith without works is a dead faith. Go back and take a look at James 1, 21 through 25. Back and look and read James chapter 2. Don't just read them. Soak them up. Take them in. Make the application to you where you need to make the application, how you need to make the application. I can't tell you that. But the answer is in the Word. The more we express our faith, the easier it is to continue in the practice of our faith. That's what ought to stay with us this morning. Indifference is subtle. It has causes. It has symptoms and signs. And it has a cure. Maybe you need that cure this morning. Maybe you've got some indifference in your life. Maybe you need to get back on track. And if we can help you with that, you have to let us know. I see smiley faces. No, I see faces that look like you wished I'd hurry up and get done. That's what I see faces. But a while ago, there were smiling faces. Everybody had one. I don't know if you're thinking about the lesson or just wish me I'd quit and quit talking. So you know who you are. If this fits you this morning, if this is in your life, if it's a difference, let us know. We'll help you every way we can. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you need to obey the gospel, we're here to help you with that. If you need to understand about what obedience to the gospel really is, we're here to help you with that. We don't know till you tell us. You know and God knows what you need this morning in your life. Don't just let it stay the same. Don't be indifferent. Make the changes you need to make while we stand together and while we sing.